All right, we are now joined by the winning driver, driver of the number 41 Chevrolet for Nice Motorsports, and that is Ross Chastain. Ross, maybe just open us up with some thoughts about tonight's race, especially that last restart.
Yeah, I mean, my thoughts are Carson Hocevar won this race. He dominated. He's so fast. He's such a goofy kid, but he's so good at 19 years old and future star in the sport, probably coming for my job or somebody else's. So it's amazing to me that he's 10 years younger than me and he's doing things that I'm learning from him. So just hats off to him and Phil Gould and that 42 group. The best part about this, though, is that Nice Motorsports probably for the first time ever, I mean, I could probably count two or three other times where we had two real chances to win, two trucks that things go right could win. There was a few times a few years ago where I thought, one of my other teammates could win. So I'm just happy to pick up the smashed watermelon pieces after, Carson couldn't win. I'm happy and so proud to pick it up and run with it and win with Worldwide Express, their first win in NASCAR. They are the shipping company, the best shipping company that nobody knows about yet. And you're going to see them spread out throughout the sport. And they're supporting me and other drivers and other teams, and you're going to continue to see them and continue to hear about them.
Thank you, Russ. If you have a question for us, please raise your hand. We'll get your mic. Get your mic, and we'll start over here with Bob.
Bob Pockers, Fox Sports. I have two. The first is this more valuable because you have a good feeling for the rest of the weekend or because you got to kind of race on the resin and see what it would do?
Yeah, race on the track, do a green flag pit stop, run the spray, run the very top, move around, try the bottom, try the bottom on restarts. The new Cup cars are quite a bit different than the trucks, but just making those muscle memory, those movements sharper. It's all just racing helps no matter what, and especially on the same track, I'll race a wheelbarrow.
And you mentioned Carson, and he obviously was a little down on himself. He felt like he made a mistake. Priest was pretty down on Hocevar, feeling that maybe he didn't drive with as much respect as he should. I'm just curious kind of how you saw those last few laps, and also, you know, when you're racing in the trucks, what are kind of the expectations? I mean, is there an expectation that guys who are young are going to be making mistakes?
If you want to talk about mistakes, I think it was lap one or lap two. I made a mistake in the turn one, and I drove in way too deep and bounced up into Carson and hit him on, like, the first lap. So if you want to talk about mistakes, I was the first one of the entire field probably to do that. So, yeah. It's there's no way around it, right? Carson, he did. He made a mistake, but that's part of learning. And if I would have given him the shove in the turn one on the second to last restart, he would have won the race, and Priest would have never even been close. I messed up. I let him down. So that put him in a really bad spot with Priest tight on his door, and Priest knew what he was doing. And, I mean, you know what's going to happen whenever you're racing for the win like this. I can't believe John Hunter and the 98, I think, that we all made it on the final lap. So, mistakes were made by all of us. Priest isn't immune to that, but I understand where Priest is coming from. I'd be the same way if I was in his shoes.
What a Reed.
Reed Spencer with the NASCAR Wire. Two questions. One, Grant says you owe him one. Could you have won the race without the push on the backstretch?
Absolutely not. Nope. No, that's why I took the top, was the momentum's always going to come to the outside. There was two Toyotas lined up on the bottom and two Chevys lined up on top, and my brother said it his very first race. It's like sweet, sweet Chevy power. Like, Chevy's won.
And that leads to the second. Did Carson make a mistake by not taking the top?
There's no way to say that in the moment. Coming to the restart, I was confident that we had everything we needed to go win the race, and I did not get through the gears good enough. I gave him an initial push in the restart zone. And then I was a truck length back, and I did not do a good job from there on. So if I would have stayed attached, Carson Hocevar wins this race. He drives away. I fight for second or third. and happy to do that. So the mistake was the 41 truck not getting through the gears. That's not me being hard on myself. That's not just me sugarcoating anything else. It's the simple fact is if I would have pushed him like I should have, he would have won this race.
Yep. Go over here in the back right to Steven.
Steven Toronto, CBS Sports. Ross, you heard it. Anyone on the who was on the front stretch in post-race heard it. When your crew guy brought the watermelon out for you to do your watermelon smash, the crowd here went nuts. And it seems like people have really gravitated toward your signature celebration. Given that you've lived your entire life in the agriculture industry and you've been such a huge ambassador for the watermelon industry in particular, what has it been like for, what has it been like for you to have the fans embrace your watermelon smash celebration as much as they have?
It means the world. It's everything that I've ever wanted. I was a farmer, and I was going to be like my dad and like my granddad and like the seven generations of Chastains that farmed watermelons before us, and they were farming a lot longer than that. I'm proud that we are a small part of feeding this world, and the fact that I can give back to the industry, to agriculture, that not only has supported my family, but that feeds the world and smash this seminous watermelon on the front stretch is absolutely incredible. To have the first Watermelon Queen here for a win, Georgia Watermelon, this is the kickoff of their season. They've been with me, the Watermelon Associations have been with me for my entire career. My very first race at IRP, we had Chef Poon and we had Watermelon Queens and we were cutting up watermelon. I spent more time at IRP out in the fan zone than I did actually like getting ready for the race. And it's just incredible that that something so simple as a watermelon has molded my family into what we are. And we're so proud to be farmers. We're proud to be in agriculture. We're proud to be a very small part of feeding this world. And to have NASCAR fans react the way they do, you know, it's truly everything that I've ever wanted.
Thank you.
We'll go up here to Jordan and check if there's anything in the press box.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. You seem kind of taking like a leadership role at Nice when you come down and do these, you know, spot starts and behind the scenes and everything as well. Is that something you enjoy and embrace?
Half the time I'm asking more questions in the comp meetings than anybody else is. I raced at Charlotte for the first time in 2012. Before I ever raced in NASCAR, we showed up one afternoon and they were doing petty ride-alongs. I rode right seat. We went in the corner. I couldn't even see over the dash. I was probably 14. I don't even think it was really legal to do, but yeah, I won't even go into any more detail. I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but I've been racing here for 10 or 11 years now, and I've hit the wall here about everywhere possible. And if I can just help Dean, Lawless, Chris, or Carson, or anybody that comes and asks me, I'm all ears. I'm still learning, and I hope I never stop learning. The day that I don't wake up and think about how to make a race car go faster, and I don't wonder what I could do better than the next guy, I probably should stop racing. So that's the biggest thing I push all these guys and girls to do that I talk to, and that we are all trying to be better race car drivers. I don't look at it as a leadership. I look at it as racers racing, and we're preparing at the shop to win races, and that's where these races are won. So at Nice, I'm all team Al Nice and Nice Motorsports. Y'all have seen that, y'all heard it. I'd do anything for that guy and Cody Efall.
And then a follow-up, as you become more solidified at the Cup Series, you know what you're going to be doing and you're having success, do you look at the Truck Series and with Nice as an opportunity to kind of maybe expand a little bit and kind of dip your toe into being involved with the team behind the scenes and kind of having a more of a role in the saying things?
You think I'm going to be like these other guys and go on a NASCAR team? You're crazy. There ain't no way. I don't know. I don't get it. The best way to make a small fortune in racing is to start with a big one, and I don't have a big fortune. So I'm going to keep investing in what I know in agriculture, and that's – I will go race and I will help however I can. But, I think to answer the question behind the question, right? I'm not gonna. It's not gonna be Al Nice with Ross Chastain or by any means. So I'll help however I can, and I will. I don't think. I know from my past when I've had to race with a dollar amount attached to the race car that I had it on the line, I could not race as good. And the day that I remember the first race that it truly, if I crashed or I won, it did not matter money-wise for me. And for me, being as cheap as I am, just being honest, that was the difference maker in me being able to go that extra step. And I don't ever, selfishly, I don't want to go back to worrying about dollars and cents on race cars. I want to race, and I don't want to get on the other side of the business table. I just don't think I don't have the bandwidth for that, honestly. I don't think I'm smart enough to do it. I'm smart enough to drive race cars. I'm smart enough to maybe grow, but definitely eat watermelons, and that's about all that I want to do.
Go right here.
Hey, Ross Trent with frontstretch.com. A lot of fans who might watch on TV, you know, they may assume, you know, Cup drivers coming down to, like, the Xfinity or Camping World Series may have an easier time out there. Just how challenging is it to race against these guys, even despite being at in the top series of the sport?
So challenging. I mean, I ran seventh that whole stage three and couldn't pass the group in front of me. And a really, you know, Cody Fall making a short pit call to pit early. We have our number one pit crew from Trackhouse. So the same guys will pit me on Sunday are pitting me here. Like, awesome pit stop. All the times over the years I've been able to come on and off pit road, I feel like I did a pretty good job. Like, that's the difference maker that I probably have more experience at. But lap time and racecraft, like, these guys were taking my air away. They were getting me on restarts. I was getting put bottom of three, middle of three, top of like, they were blowing my doors off. I felt like a rookie, honestly, a lot of times. And then once we jumped them on the pit cycle under green, we were in third. I lost it to John Hunter. Again, I couldn't pass a lap truck. Like, this guy's out here, he's going a lap down, and I'm running third, and I can't pass him. And John Hunter blows by both of us. So there's still a lot for me to clean up, especially if I want to go race competitively on Sunday. So learn from this. The cars and trucks drive a lot different, but I don't feel like I had enough upper hand other than the fact that I've been doing it for 11 years now. That's you just can't buy experience, and that's why I race as much as I can. I'm selfish and I want to be better.
Do we have anything up in the press box?
Well, yes we do.
All right. No, I have to study to be a race car driver, and watermelon stuff. Anybody that's ever had a conversation with me or asked me this question, I can ramble on and on about watermelons. And yeah, it's not forced. It's truly what I never had a choice when it came to watermelons. My brother Chad and I are eighth generation watermelon farmers, and Chad has done a whole lot more in the industry. And my dad and granddad, I have cousins, aunts, uncles, all kinds of family members, and now new to the family, friends that have came into the company and became family. And the whole ag industry is a family. And that's why you don't see us promoting a brand of, at the grocery store, a specific brand. You hear about Florida watermelons, Georgia watermelons, Ileana, Delaware, Mardell, the National Watermelon Association, and the National Watermelon Promotion Board, because we all promote together. It's so cool that the ag industry has supported me. Now, this is a Seminis grown watermelon, and for companies like Bayer and Cementis to come in and support me now and want to be a part of this watermelon celebration when we win. That's just so cool to me that agriculture is now getting more and more on board with me, because I just want to talk about it and I want to tell people about how we're really a silent majority. I mean, there's so many farming and so many people across this world. It's really a small percentage, but there's so many people that are in charge of feeding the rest of us. I'm not in charge of feeding anybody, but my family is, and watermelons are a small part, but agriculture as a whole, it's just what I love, and I want to talk about it, and I want to use this platform. Now, it's not to say that Worldwide Express isn't the best shipping company that nobody's ever heard about, and now as we continue to go through all this, it becomes more and more natural for me to talk about people that truly believe in me and that I believe in them.
Do we have another one in the press box?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to keep that between us, honestly, Chris. And I think Carson knows that the sun is going to come up tomorrow, and he's going to take his time, look through this. Yeah, it's tough. I've been there. I've lost a lot of races, and it never gets easier. And I'm not even going to pretend to act like it's even easy for me to sit here and watch. I mean, I had a front row seat for what all happened. And gosh, if I could run it back again and it go play out different, I don't care what happens to me, honestly. Like, Carson Hocevar deserves to win this race, and I hate that it didn't work out. But he's got to get up, you know, whether it's tomorrow or Sunday or Monday, and put one foot in front of the other. It's not the end of the world, and that's probably what I'll go to him with after some time, is that I know it does it. Even for me right now, I'm getting emotional because it feels like to me it is the end of the world for him, but it's not. And the sun will come up, and he will get back in the race truck, and he will go win, and he will compete for wins. And Nice Motorsports will continue to bring fast trucks, and he will continue to race in NASCAR for a very long time. And it's really hard to see that in the moment. I mean, y'all have watched it play out for me. The wild part about this sport is you watch it play out live, HD, cameras in our faces, and gosh, we're just young boys and girls like chasing a dream, and for him this is all that he wants and nothing else matters. Definitely his family, Peyton, like, we're thinking of her, like, I know that's on his mind, and I'm sure he wanted to win for everything, right, and himself included, but he'll just have to put one foot in front of the other and believe that it will get better and that he will have more chances. And in that next opportunity, you just learn from this one and you make, you know, one tactical move a little different, you drive into victory lane.
Anything else in the press box? All right, Ross, congratulations again on the win and good luck on Sunday.
Thank you. Need it.